Hello, you are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly local affairs show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Here on the midterm election edition of Local Motion, we'll be talking about three ballot measures on the Delta County ballot whose passage could impact life locally and across the state. We'll talk about ballot questions 7E and 7F, which would establish a taxation district to fund the North Fork Ambulance Association. Then we'll have a discussion about ballot issue 6C, which proposes a mill levy increase to support the North Fork Pool Park and Recreation District. And last, we'll have Corey Stanton's report for KVNF News about Amendment X, which would change the definition of industrial hemp. And we begin with the North Fork Ambulance Association. Since its inception, North Fork Ambulance has been funded exclusively by membership dues. Now the association proposes that a taxation district be formed and funded with a mill levy increase. KVNF News was joined in studio by North Fork Ambulance Director Kathy Steckel, Events and Media Coordinator Katie Headley, and volunteer John Records, to talk about the ballot questions. First, we asked Steckel to describe what 7E and 7F say and why they wanted to put them on the ballot.
Well, 7E and 7F will provide the continuation of ambulance service in the North Fork Valley. Particularly, 7E is the formation of the district, of a health service district. And then there's a couple of questions in between 7E and 7F, which are about our initial board members, a slate of five people for five seats. And then 7F is the funding question, the Tabor question for a mill levy of 5.75 on commercial and residential property.
What is the difference between the North Fork Ambulance and the Delta Ambulance?
Mainly, it's our service area and how we provide service that makes the difference. We have a 1,500 square mile service area. We serve all the way to the top of McClure Pass into Gunnison County, partway over Black Mesa to mile marker 56, and then to Payne Siding, the whole eastern side of Delta County, and up Stevens Gulch to the Mesa County line. So we're quite a large service area with a fairly sparse population.
And there's a big difference in the number of calls too, right? You say, is it the Delta County one gets 3,000 per year and the North Fork Ambulance gets 800?
Right.
Okay, so less calls but a bigger space to cover.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also operate, the North Fork Ambulance has an on-call model. So rather than us being paid to sit in a station and wait for calls, we respond from work or home and get a small hourly stipend. And when the pager goes off, we drop what we're doing, respond to the call, and then go back to work or home or whatever we were doing.
So why is it that the North Fork Ambulance has never had a tax district formed for it?
Well, North Fork Ambulance was formed in 1969 when many EMS agencies were forming across the United States. Rural areas all over America had EMS agencies that were funded by membership. And that's how the North Fork Ambulance has survived for 49 years. And about 34% of the Valley are members. But the costs are raising to a point where that 34% can no longer hold up the whole system.
One of the press material comments that stood out to me is, with growing demand, rising expenses, and limited income, our problem becomes long-term financial sustainability. This life-saving service is nearing the breaking point. Just talk a little bit more about that. How desperate is the situation? You say it's nearing a breaking point. How bad is it?
Over the last 49 years, the board has been able to put money into reserves. And in the last 3 years, we've been beginning to use those reserves to stay afloat. So we are only a year or so away from the end of those reserves. And this is a proactive step to maintain ambulance service that will be fairly seamless. If the measures are passed in November, no one should really notice a change. We're not changing the way we operate or making big changes in the way we do business, but we're wanting to change the way we're funded.
You know, speaking as a volunteer who has been supporting Kathy and to some extent the board of directors of the ambulance, I asked myself the question, what if you called the ambulance and nobody came? We take it for granted. It's always there. Not so many people actually use it, but it's there for all of us. Only about a third of the people in the valley are paying to support everybody, and it seems to be fair that that burden be shared more equitably. I was in a serious bike accident some years ago, and I was so grateful, this is in another community, that the ambulance would come and take care of me. Recently, our ambulance has upgraded their support from basic to advanced life support. So somebody who's in an accident can actually get pain relief right away rather than having to wait for a transfer or to get over to the hospital. So there's this combination of bringing our services up to date for things that would, you know, common sense to be able to give better cardiac support, more pain management immediately, and to actually keep it going so that we don't wind up without an ambulance. That may sound like a shocking possibility, but I understand that there was actually a hospital district in Colorado that voted not to continue funding for it. So in our climate, where I think we're reasonably wary of tax increases, it seems to be possible that maybe people would not vote for the ambulance. I'm here to say that I think what's going to happen if we don't pass this is that we don't have the North Fork ambulance anymore. We might be able to get service out of Delta, but do you really want to rely on service out of Delta in the wintertime or to have a long response time if you or somebody you care about really needs the ambulance desperately?
That was volunteer John Records speaking on behalf of the North Fork Ambulance Association. You are listening to the midterm election edition of Local Motion here on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. I'm Eric Gould. Now we'll continue our discussion about ballot questions 7E and 7F, which would establish a taxation district to support the North Fork Ambulance Association. One of the letters to the editor I've read in the Delta County Independent talks about that very thing, where they say the mill levy increase for the ambulance is justified, but it might not be fair. 34% of the people who are members are paying for everyone else. And the author of this letter went on to say that those 34% generally aren't the ones who need the ambulance. The ones who need it are the ones who don't pay for it. What is your response to that? Does that seem unfair to you?
It does. I really appreciate that 34%. We're making it possible for all of us. I am happy to pay as a member because I want the old folks and the kids and anybody who needs it to have it. And these are our neighbors who are looking out for us. Often they know us when they come to help us out. So I'm delighted to pay more taxes to help my neighbors to help me and the other people in our community.
Delta County voters have been notorious over the years for not raising mill levies. And property owners around here, especially in the North Fork Valley, are real hesitant to raise the mills for anything. Why do you think the North Fork Ambulance should be the one that they raise the mill levy for?
Ambulance service is vital to a healthy community. We conducted a survey back in January and questioned people in the North Fork Valley, would they support an increase in their taxes to continue ambulance service here? And 66% of the people said yes, they would support that. 97% of the respondents identified North Fork Ambulance as a vital service for the community. So I think that's all in our favor. Within that survey, we did a little education piece after we asked that initial question and told them, you know, the age of some of our equipment, our ambulances, the cost of training, those kind of things, what a tax increase would be used for. And we picked up 11 points when we asked them the question again, would you support an increase in your taxes? So we have 77% of the people who answered that survey are in favor of it. We'll see how things work out in the long run.
I could jump in on that too. You know, in addition to what I've already said and what Kathy has said, let's think about what would be the impact on business and real estate values if we didn't have an ambulance service here. I personally feel that business would decline. Businesses would not move here, would probably lose employers, and that our property values would go down, because who would want to purchase property in a place where you don't have ready access to critical health care?
As we're mentioning the rise in cost of many things in our lives, the cost of training, just to touch on that, has gone up quite a bit. When Kathy took her class 20-some years ago, the Crawford Fire Auxiliary did a bake sale and raised money by selling cupcakes and brownies. And they raised $400, and it covered her class. And now, if somebody wants to take a class, it's $2,400. So that's gone up quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. We need to continue training on all levels. We need new EMTs. We need to maintain the skills and education of our current EMTs, and then also raise our level of support, you know, of training, raise our level of training for some of the folks to advance life support. And that's either an intermediate level or it's paramedic.
And having the advanced life support providers has made a pretty incredible impact in our area. Kathy is one of those providers, and when these folks show up, the advanced life support people show up to your house, they can start cardiac care, some pretty significant treatment right there at your home, whereas in the past we would meet Delta County Ambulance somewhere near Austin or Payne Siding, which is, you know, from Crawford, that's a fair distance. So increasing our training is helping us get that care to the patients right away.
And then I was looking at the mill levy itself. It would be a raising of the mill levy 5.75 mills for 2019.
Well, the way we're forming with a 5.75 mill levy for 2019, and then a specified dollar amount to target for years after that, will allow us to not be subject to the Gallagher Amendment and the, you know, the problems special districts are having across the state of Colorado with declining revenues from their the assessment rate declining, which is good for the taxpayer because your tax bill is going down each year with that residential assessment going down. But what it means for special districts is that they receive less and less money. The way we're forming specifies a dollar amount that can be adjusted for inflation and local growth over the years. So we won't see that declining income, and it should maintain the North Fork Ambulance for many years to come. We won't be coming back for a mill levy increase because of Gallagher.
Those were members of the North Fork Ambulance Association talking about ballot questions 7E and 7F. Now here on the midterm election edition of Local Motion, we'll find out about ballot issue 6C, which deals with another proposed mill levy issue. The North Fork Pool, Park, and Recreation District is asking voters for the increase in order to, quote, fund, maintain, improve, develop, and provide recreational activities, facilities, services, and programs within the district, end quote. The Recreation District funds and manages various recreation sites in the North Fork Valley, including the Hotchkiss Swimming Pool and the Skate Park and Apple Valley Tennis Courts in Paonia. KVNF News spoke with North Fork Pool, Park, and Recreation District Treasurer Sarah Scherer to get the details. Let's just start real quickly with a general question about the district itself. It represents both Paonia and Hotchkiss, is that right?
Yes, and parts of Crawford. The district map goes, kind of like to 3100 Road, Paonia, and then out into Crawford. So this year we've expanded and have, in cooperation with the Nature Connection, added a pump track by the soccer. We also have soccer fields by the pool in that complex there, and a pump track and new mountain biking trails around the exterior. And we've just received almost $1 million in grants to do a four baseball field complex at that same location, which we should begin construction on. You know, the beginnings of it will happen at the end of this fall, November, December.
Okay, and then looking at the language of the ballot proposal itself, we're talking about mill levy increases. And I just wondered, after reading through the ballot issue, what exactly is this money going to be used for?
So I think just a little bit of background is really important. When we were established in 1994, we had a mill levy rate of 1.4 that the voters approved. It was reduced over time and was frozen in 2004 at 8.93. But because of the Gallagher Amendment and the losses in our economy and mine closures, the Gallagher Amendment, which all property tax goes down because of reduction of residential assessment rates every year, we are losing money every year. And as an example, year we had $92,000 to use for operating expenses, and that's important for people to know that our mill levy money goes towards operating expenses. We cannot use any money that comes from the lottery. That all has to go for maintenance or new construction, but to for all of our operating expenses, we can only use property taxes. And so what we received this year, $92,000, is projected to go down to $75,000 by next year because of the Gallagher Amendment reduction in residential assessment rate. So it's not, in my opinion, a tax increase. It's just money to continue at the level that we're at. And then we are working against minimum wage increase. And, you know, we employ a lot of lifeguards, and all of those wages are going up because of the minimum wage increase. So our lifeguard salaries are expected to go up $21,000 in the next 2 years. Mill levy money is used for operating expenses, the rising in wages due to minimum wage, pays for our maintenance person and a part-time administrator.
That was North Fork Pool and Park Recreation District Treasurer Sarah Scherer talking about ballot issue 6C here on Local Motion. The proposal would increase mill levies in the North Fork Valley to help pay operating and normal costs for the rec district. As she said, the ballot measure has nothing to do with the four ball fields that are going to be built in Hotchkiss. Those were funded by grants. Rather, the mill levy increase would pay for the rec district to keep up with minimum wage increases and to hire appropriate staff. The Gallagher Amendment, which is used in the equation to calculate how much property tax money goes to special taxation districts, causes the value of individual mills to go down. It is a yearly property tax assessment that quantifies the decline in property tax value.
Right, and it's, you know, built into that formula that that assessment goes down every year. So in addition to losing property taxes because of the lower economy and the mine closures, we also have that double whammy of the Gallagher Amendment where there's a reduction in the assessment rate of taxes every year. And so the amount of money that we get from a mill goes down every year. And so with this, if people vote for this amendment, it will basically keep us, you know, a stable rate to where we are now, the same rate. I think what's important for people to understand that it's just, if you know, voting yes for this mill levy is basically just, it's not new taxes for them. It's keeping us, you know, at the same rate that we are today while we are still dealing with increases in minimum wage. So for us, the proposed mill levy of 2.5, and if you had a value of a home of $100,000, it would be an $18 a year versus what we're getting right now is $6.42. And I hope people can understand the Gallagher and that as your property taxes are assessed lower every year, then that amount that goes to special districts goes down every year, whereas, I mean, the big thing is that minimum wage is going up. And that the other big thing to understand is that in special districts, you cannot use lottery money for your operating expenses. You can only use this property tax assessment money. All you can do is put the information out there and ask people you know, to make a good choice based on preserving the recreation that they have in this district, which is pretty good and going to get better.
That was North Fork Pool and Park Recreation District Treasurer Sarah Scherer talking about ballot issue 6C. Here on the midterm election edition of Local Motion, we'll move to the third ballot measure we'll discuss, which is Amendment X. The language of Amendment X is refreshingly short and sweet compared to every other ballot measure. It asks, quote, "Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning changing the industrial hemp definition from a constitutional definition to a statutory definition? Yes or no?" It seems pretty straightforward, but as Corey Stanton reports for KVNF News, Amendment X is potentially a big risk.
I'm here talking with Dwayne Sinning from the CDA. He is the Division of Plant Industry Director. How are you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Corey?
I'm good. Thank you. I'd like to talk to you about Amendment X and how that's potentially going to affect a lot of things. If you could maybe just talk to me about the current laws in place regarding industrial hemp.
So currently, Colorado's industrial hemp program operates kind of almost under two parallel rules. One is the state constitution, which lays out really our authority in that and defines industrial hemp at 0.3% THC. And then also provided in the Farm Bill is 0.3% THC, and not a lot of guidance, but a little guidance about what the feds expect of a state program.
With the state laws how they are now, are the farmers currently protected from the federal government?
So we believe that we have a Farm Bill compliant program, and belief is always a strong word because no state has litigated. We've had a number of conversations with our DEA and other federal partners. We believe that our program is Farm Bill compliant, and there haven't been any actions taken against any of our registrants. So on the federal level, we believe that it is. And on the state level, we have a program here that is in line with our constitution as well.
And in the Farm Bill, isn't it that they're trying to increase the legal THC limit to 1%? Or do you know anything about what's going on with an increase?
Yeah, so the proposed language in the Farm Bill states, again, reiterates the 0.3 level. There is a part of the industry that has tried to move the THC level up. There are some that have tried to move the THC level down. But the current language in the Farm Bill is still remains at 0.3, and the proposed language is at 0.3.
Do you foresee it being increased to the 1%, or do you think that's kind of a lost cause?
I don't see that happening. I have no way of forecasting what would happen at the federal level.
Right. It almost seems like more likely they could decrease the percentage.
Yeah, I think it could go either way. I think there are factors that could move it up or down. So I think the consistency at 0.3 really almost ties to a lot of international trade agreements. So the movement would take an act of Congress, and they would have to look at all the ramifications of it.
Right. So don't you think this is kind of a gamble?
Taking the 0.3 out of the Constitution?
If Amendment X passes, it almost seems to me that farmers would be at a higher risk.
The farmers would be at a different risk, I think, is probably the best way to put it. What you have currently is the fact that the state number and the federal number are the same. And as long as that number is maintained the same and the Farm Bill passed, there's certainly a language in the Farm Bill that would offer assistance to farmers and universities that currently aren't available. If that number were set by our legislature different than the number that is at the federal level, farmers wouldn't have opportunity to take advantage of that new assistance offered in states that would be Farm Bill compliant. But equally, taking that number out of the Constitution means whatever the federal number changes to, we'd be tied to, which certainly opens up transportation, interstate transportation as well, if you're compliant.
And beyond the 0.3 THC percentage, what else would affect the farmers by this amendment passing?
Not much. It's really the THC limit is really all this addresses. The rest is tied to federal legislation and how that would impact Colorado's program. And that really is unknown, uncertain until we see the final language out of the Farm Bill and what that's required.
Right. I think that's the big gamble here is there is a level of uncertainty either way.
Corey, you're right. Oh. There's a level of uncertainty either way, and I don't think anyone can answer truthfully what that means today.
I had a farmer say, why don't we just keep doing what's working for us and address this issue in 2 years when we can vote and we can know what the federal level is going to do?
Yeah, he makes a valid point. I don't know that there's a real clear answer whether we should take it out or put it in or how we should set it. And I think that's the crux of the whole issue of where we're at on Amendment X.
The amendment is written clear itself, but it's very unclear what could happen.
It's one of those decisions that, you know, you have to weigh personally how you feel about the risks and the benefits of both. What we encourage people to do is do research like you're doing, look at the Farm Bill, understand agricultural programs like crop insurance and how important that could be by being in compliance with the Farm Bill, but also understand the risks of if the federal number went up or down, what that could mean as you make your decision.
I know farmers personally that rely on their crops and work hand in hand with the CDA and really want to abide by the rules and regulations.
And I would tell you, Corey, that is the majority of our registrants. I tell people all the time, of all the programs that we deal with here in the Department of Ag, the industrial hemp folks are probably some of the most responsible people we deal with. And they are an extremely compliant group that want to show that this can be a legitimate industry. The U.S. Department of Congressional Research states that there's over 25,000 uses for industrial hemp, and that number was developed before the industry even emerged. So it tells us how many uses there really are for this plant.
Wow. And Colorado really is at the forefront of industrial hemp.
Colorado has led the nation in acres planted every year. This year, there may be another state that has about the same number of acres, but Colorado has always been a leader in industrial hemp production.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me and help all of us understand Amendment X a bit better and how the CDA will continue to work on a federal level if this amendment passes.
Well, Corey, thanks for having me, and hopefully I've helped answer a little bit of the mystery behind Amendment X.
You have been listening to the KVNF Midterm Election Edition of Local Motion. In the show, we talked about ballot measures that potentially could create a taxation district for the North Fork Ambulance Association. We discussed the North Fork Pool Park and Recreation District's proposal to raise the mill levy rate. And we heard from Corey Stanton about Amendment X. Thanks so much to all those who participated in our discussions, and thanks to you, our listeners. Stay tuned for election coverage of results on election night. KVNF will have our usual local motion, and As the Worm Turns, on Tuesday, November 6th. After that, we'll go into live coverage from NPR, looking at midterm elections around the country. KVNF News will have periodic updates on local results as they become available. Thanks so much for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and to Local Motion. For KVNF News, my name is Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening. Welcome.